Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Oh boy. Busy week. All sorts of stuff going on. Of course, I focus on the fun stuff. Only the fun stuff. And what happened? ESP. PSI. Works. This is a paper that is 10 years in the making, at least. And it's on Slate. Daryl Bem proves ESP works. You've got the magic eight ball there at the top, which, of course, we always works. But the problem with this is it means science is broken. That's the title. And he went to the best of his ability, to the extreme, to make sure he had a large base to work with, that he could repeat it. That's the usual complaint, that it can't be repeated in another lab or another experiment. And this is something that a 10-year investigation, 9 experiments, thousands of subjects, it means it's legit. And so the cool thing is that instead of the skeptics going, oh, it's a hoax, it won't work, they're going, uh-oh, we need to go back to the drawing board because we have to make sure that this doesn't work and it isn't true. So the skeptics now have more inspiration and incentive because the people who have decided that, yeah, this is legit and real and discovered it, like the CIA papers have shown, that the people they were working with actually had ways of coming up with things that they could not explain how they did it. They just knew that they were doing it. So here's this fabulous case, and going back over it, looking at what was going on. One thing that they did find, which Ingo Swann mentioned, was somebody who was a skeptic when they were present, then it would sometimes throw off the data. And so for the CIA, they threw him out of the room. You're a skeptic, see you, bye. Okay, you have no place here. Because part of it is it's that the group consciousness, that presence of just allowing it to be what it's going to be, and then you give it an opening instead of just saying absolutely not. Well, I've seen how that works. Sometimes somebody will walk into a room, things will work just fine until they walk into the room and all of a sudden things go haywire. All right, so that's do the link on that, because it's a little bit wordy to get into here, but I was thrilled. It's like, okay, fine, yay, so the stuff is coming out. All right, yeah, the circus, no longer. It's like, man, did you go to a circus when you were a kid? It was just that thing, the greatest show on earth, and the ambiance. Now, I will tell you, when I went to the one in Topeka at the big municipal auditorium there, we did see, they did this incredible act where they're all up there working without a net, and they're doing kind of a little, there's somebody at the very top of the pole and 3 or 4 people around supporting the pole, and the pole bent. It was a mechanical error, and the guy fell. It would probably be the equivalent of 4 stories. The thing that happened was when he fell, he landed, fortunately, on a bunch of, which in terms of cushions could have been a whole lot better, screens. They were wooden screens, and there were about 6 or 8, and that broke his fall, and he was okay. But that was, you know, other than that, a bit traumatized. Just the memory and seeing some of the things that they've done recently with the people who are performers, and the rigid expectations they have for someone who wants to be a clown, the thousands who are going through the audition process, and like 60 are chosen. Pretty incredible things. I was in a part of the country where they used to make the guy, there was a guy there who made clown shoes. That was his specialty. And that was what he did. So, you know, a little bit of history. And I understand the problem with the animals being mistreated. I'm not that part I do understand. But all the other parts of it where you've got these performers who are fantastic at doing the sleight of hand and the impressions and all of that. It's incredible that ambiance that it sets as when you're a kid and don't know that some things aren't supposed to happen. It's just a whole different world going by. So the reason I include that, it's magic. It's magic. It's that theater of imagination. You imagine things. And then some people are scared of clowns for the rest of their life. Okay, I wasn't. I think they're cool. The other thing here is that Mr. Biggles needs a home. If you haven't seen Mr. Biggles yet, he has a fabulous PR person. Mr. Biggles is a cat. And the publicist says that he is a cat from heck. He's black. He's gorgeous, beautiful eyes, and he's a terror. And if he doesn't like the way you pet him, he will bite you. And you just take that for what it's worth. He has his own place he likes to carve out at the end of the bed, his caretaker says. And woe be it to anybody who enters that space without permission. So Mr. Biggles would like to make a connection, a love connection, and he's available. That I'll put the link on. The other person that you might, or the other, if you're a pet fan, Tuna the dog. Have you seen Tuna? He's got the underbite, like major underbite, wrinkled ears. But he's got 2 million Instagram followers, more than anybody I know. And so Tuna, if you need a friend who doesn't need to be adopted and just can, you know, you can love Tuna a whole lot, then you've got your new fan club. Rendlesham Forest. Remember the story? Leslie Kane covered it in her book, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, Go on the Record. This is, they've done a repeat where Charles Halt goes back to the site. And when this first happened, this is like a UFO sighting. It's involving a lot of military guys. And he was saying he tried to keep it secret. Didn't want to go public with it, but it just became something bigger and bigger. And finally it went public. And it's just a fascinating story. So if you want some real, you know, some real dirt, some scoop, with guys who really didn't want to get into this territory at all. It's one of the best UFO stories out there. All right, and then I guess this weekend they are back. Did you ever listen to the family, the Kelly family? I loved some of their music, and I guess it was a girl thing. But like this song.
Out in the field. Called for the meat, he took for the shed, the darkened to fall, silence was all, beauty shone bright, surrounded by light, come on now.
Here he is.
I fell in love with an alien,
yeah.
I fell in love with her eyes,
okay.
I fell in love with an alien.
For all of us who fantasize about aliens. That they're back, okay. This is the family Von Trapp, okay. The real cool story, the backstory. They travel around in a minivan. I think it got stolen. So they somebody donated a double decker bus. Great story. They're back. They were on hiatus. Had a few changes in the family, but the first show this weekend in Dortmund, Germany. So they're back on the road. The first show when they announced they were getting back together was like 18 minutes and it sold out. So they added two more shows. They all sold out. Maybe. They'll make a trip here. Michael Grosso, my guest, The Man Who Could Fly is the book. This is about, it's a fascinating story, St. Joseph of Cupertino and levitation and the fact that he really, really did do it. How did he do it? Well, Michael Grosso's going to come on and talk about it. Wendy's Coffee House next.
All Seasons Event Rental, Kansas City's premier party rental company, allseasonseventrental.com.
Register to win lunch for your office. I'll deliver it with Grandma's. You can win lunch for 20, courtesy of Grandma's Office Catering and KCMO. Get 100 meals in 3 hours from Grandma's. Order at grandmascatering.com or call 816-GRANDMA today.
Hi, folks. Kevin Jordan, Interstate 49 Truck Center in sunny Grandview. And you know it's going to be hot this summer, so get a head start on it and call us for a check on your cooling system and air conditioners of all your fleet trucks. You can usually get in and out in one day. Oil changes, DOT inspections, and check engine lights as well. Call 816-322-2333. We're just south of Gale's Harley-Davidson on the old 71 Highway or the new Interstate 49 in Grandview. And we'll see you on the garage floor.
Zero Res, the only non-residue and platinum-rated carpet cleaner, is officially the preferred carpet cleaner for Sporting KC Soccer Club. Sporting uses Zero Res because of their patented empowered water that doesn't use heavy soaps or harsh chemicals and leaves zero residue in the carpet. The summer or out-of-school special, get three rooms clean to get the fourth room free for $129. Book an appointment at ZeroResKC.com or 816-425-3655. Remember, spell Zero Res backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
It happens all the time. A homeowner was told that their AC system needed to be replaced and called Midwest for a competitive quote. But in fact, they didn't need a new system at all. It was just a matter of redirecting some baffling in the ducts, and all was fine. When Bill Lambert co-founded Midwest Heating 6 decades ago, he had one simple rule: treat other people as you would like to be treated. And the Lambert family still operates Midwest that same way today. Midwest now has up to a $1,700 trade rebate on all qualifying Lennox home comfort systems. Add in special financing and the possibility of generous utility rebates, you can save serious money. But the point is this: whether you need a new Lennox system or just some good problem solving, when in doubt, trust your heir to the best, Midwest. Midwest Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. 816-943-8400 or at MidwestHeating.com.
Dave Ramsey here, and for over 5 years now, I've recommended Mitch Owen and Lee's Summit Roofing to help you make the right decision on replacing your roof. Don't be confused by the name. From clay to cast, Johnson to Jackson County, Lee's Summit Roofing has KC covered. And you're working directly with Mitch, so you can save the salesman's commission for yourself. For the best value for your roof, visit Lee'sSummitRoofing.com or call 816-554-8585.
Hi friends, I'm Ernie the Horse Guy. Join me as Better Horses Radio KC Style moves to a new day and time. Catch Better Horses every Saturday morning at 7 right here on KCMO Talk Radio 710 AM or 103.7 FM. It's unbelievable.
It is time. Ted Nugent, rocking America again. The Rock and Roll Event of the Year. Party July 28th, Providence Medical Center Amphitheater. With special guests, Blue Oyster Cult and Great White. Tickets on sale now at all Ticketmaster locations. Online at Ticketmaster.com or by phone. 800-745-3000. More at TedNugent.com.
Have you looked at your pay stub recently? If your employer isn't taking out taxes and other benefits, you may be a misclassified worker, missing out on many benefits, including unemployment insurance, workers' compensation, overtime pay, and many more. Report possible worker misclassification at labor.mo.gov/off-the-books today. Sponsored by the Missouri Department of Labor.
Okay. Do you levitate frequently? Michael Grosso, my guest. The Man Who Could Fly. This book is fascinating. But we're not just talking about that. We're talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Part of it is just because Michael covers some fascinating topics. So, Michael, without any further ado, you introduce yourself, okay? Because you got more than I can do with just, you know, a two-sentence backup. How did you get started? What drew you to the flying, not the flying nun, but the flying saint?
With you, Wendy, and with Kansas, because that's where this is coming from. Yeah, okay, so I've been doing research. My background is philosophy, and my interest has always been in the nature of the mind. And unlike most or many contemporary philosophers, they tend to lean on materialism as the correct way of looking at the world. And the reason is we have very successful materialist technological civilization. However, I think they're missing out on a lot of things. So I've spent a lot of time exploring unusual people and unusual abilities, because I'm interested in trying to spell out the full range of human potential. So I wrote a book, and coming out with a second book on the same person, about a man who could fly, a 17th century Catholic mystic who is famous for his ecstasies. And when he went into ecstasy, which is a deeply altered state of consciousness, all kinds of strange things would happen. One of them was, it seemed that gravity would lose its hold on him, and he would get carried away. You know how you talk about carried away? It's like a metaphor. And he would get literally carried away and rise up into the air. And this, of course, was quite astonishing and quite challenging and unexpected. And it does challenge the mainstream way of looking at the world today. This is not the only case of levitation. It's one of the best. It's not only, we don't only find this phenomenon in the Christian tradition. It's very much present in Tibetan Buddhism, for example, among mediums. And there are a lot of little things that happen in everyday life, in sports and dancing. I've come across stories of people having accidents. Someone recently told me a story of a very fragile elderly woman who seemed to fall, and by all, you know, expectations, she would have broken her bones, but she kind of just floated down on the ground and wasn't even slightly injured. I can't swear that that was a miracle, but as one, I've heard a lot of stories like that. Every now and then, these things happen. So that's my interest. My interest is in exploring the unusual potentials of human beings, and I look to the saints, the yogis, the shamans, and ordinary people in ordinary life. I myself am a very ordinary guy, but I've had some. Every once in a while, I have an extraordinary experience. Never levitated, never done anything quite so spectacular, but I have glimpsed the future. I have caused things to break around me when I was in a weird mood. All of these are stories I could tell, but I won't talk too much about them. But
Wait! Because the precognitive thing, you had the three dreams. Yeah. That one's fascinating.
Well, it is, and I've had several like that, but I did have, you may recall, I think it was in 1981, President Reagan was almost assassinated, and as we all know, he recovered happily from that attempt, but I had three consecutive dreams of the president being almost assassinated. In the last dream, I saw him naked from the waist up, beaming health. The first two dreams, get shot and he goes down as a crowd of people. Now, I told these three dreams to my students at the time because we were talking about this stuff. And then lo and behold, one day it happened. And one of my students called me up. Now, you don't have three dreams in a row like that. That's not a coincidence. Once, maybe. So things like that have happened to me. Now, things like that have happened to an ordinary person because I know lots of people who have occasionally strange experiences. Then there are also spectacular manifestations of these powers. So if you look at the whole picture, and it takes, you know, I've been at it for many years, exploring all these different kinds of stories and different aspects of these phenomena, you begin to form a picture of human potential that most people will not have because they haven't done their homework, they haven't done the research. So that would be my way of sort of introducing myself. And I would mention a term. I've been writing some posts about human singularities. You know, a singularity in astronomy, for example, a singularity of gravity is a black hole, okay? There's a certain type of kind of a limit that you reach, and this term singularity has been used. And what it implies is a point where something drastically changes, a whole new set of changes come into play. Where, so for example, St. Joseph of Cupertino, the man who could fly, he seems to have been on a totally different wavelength from the average human being, the way he lived the phenomena. He was a healer. He was a levitator. He knew you could walk along with him, and he knew what you were thinking all the time. It got so annoying that his fellow brethren in the church, so he's off there, brother. I mean, every little naughty thought we have. Uh-huh. Like, the funny story catches one of his fellow monks, and he says he was supposed to be praying. He said, but you were thinking about the cherries you wanted to pick off that tree. And embarrassed him. You know, silly little small things like that. But, but illustrating that there was something radically different about this human being. And I count the only cases that where the evidence is very strong. And there are documents, eyewitness testimony, to the kinds of things that interest me. I'm not interested in deluding myself or in other people. I'm just interested in examining facts that tend to be ignored by the mainstream culture.
Well, and with him, you had thousands. I mean, the documentation on him is extensive.
Oh, very extensive. I mean, there are at least 150 sworn eyewitness testimonies over a period of 35 years that Joseph continuously, maybe for 1 year, he was sort of not, these things were not happening. But for 35 years, but the 150 eyewitness written testimonies are by very, you know, exceptional people. One pope, people from the Inquisition, artists, surgeons, ordinary people. But many hundreds, if not thousands, over the periods of years must have witnessed him do this, because it always happened in daylight while he was saying Mass or in the midst of a procession. He would see something that would turn him on spiritually, and he would get ecstatic, and his behavior would radically change, and these strange things would happen. So by the time he actually died, he was quite famous all over Italy and in many parts of Europe. And when they laid his body out, and people came from all over Italy for weeks, because that was a time that they believed they could pray to him and get responses. And indeed, all kinds of unusual things happened during that time. I even met a woman once in Italy. I was traveling in Assisi, who told me out of the blue, she says, "You know, I owe San Giuseppe a favor," and she recounted to me something special that she had requested, and she believed, at any rate, that Joseph responded. My point is simply that 400 years later, there are still people who are attuned to this personality and believe in him. It's so powerful what the records are that he could do these extraordinary things. Of course, he's not alive anymore. And that brings us to another question, since you asked me by way of self-introduction. I'm deeply interested in the evidence for life after death. Our materialist culture tends not to believe in that anymore. And again, I think they're just not paying attention to the necessary stories and evidence that would lead one to believe that these things do happen, that there is evidence that leads us to make the inference that some people, and I'm speaking very carefully, not on the basis of faith, but on the basis of science, that there are cases of various kinds that once you hear the story, the only inference, or the best inference, the best explanation, seems to be that such and such a person has survived the death of his or her body.
Okay, Michael, hang on. We're going to have to take a break here. So stick around. Michael Gross will come up. He's going to also tell us about the next book he's working on and a little bit about with the blog post when you touched on that singularity. I want to come back to that as well. And then the demonstration you did with levitation. All right, so we got some stuff to cover here. So don't go anywhere just yet. Listen, Michael's going to stick around, and you're listening to Wendy's Coffee House, just talking about some things that people tend to say it can't happen. But with thousands and thousands of witnesses, a few things have happened, and we're reconsidering that aspect. Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio, KCMO. Back in a few. Wendy's Coffee House. Talk radio, KCMO. Yeah, we talk about all the fun stuff. The stuff that doesn't hit the mainstream news. You know, it's just the weird, the odd, the unusual, the cool, the curious. My guest tonight, Michael Grosso, the author of The Man Who Could Fly and several other books. Soul Making is one, Frontiers of the Soul, Experiencing the Next World Now, The Millennium Myth. So you've got several to choose from, and then he's going to come up with a follow-up for this book. Hi, Michael. I wanted to ask you, okay, so you've got another book following this. What did you miss? What did you not cover in the first installment?
Well, the second book that's coming on St. Joseph is his biography, translated and abridged for contemporary readers, so that readers can actually get, more direct narrative of his very unusual life. You know, when you're that unusual, you create enemies, and the church was very cautious about him and the word about him that he might get out of hand, so to speak. So the biography, will be the first English translation of this biography, and I'm hoping it should be of interest to people. Secondly, I comment on the biography, and I try to look at St. Joseph as I do other unusual individuals in history from all different traditions and religions and philosophies. I try to look at him as a, it's not that I even try, I can't help but see him as an illustration of the evolutionary potential of all human beings. I mean, Jesus himself said that, to his followers, that they could do things that he did and even greater. I forget the exact passage, but I'm sure most people know about this.
Mm-hmm.
Who read the Bible, at any rate. So I'm just, pointing out that not only is it scientifically plausible that human beings have not fully evolved all of their potentialities, but you get the same insights from religion and shamanism and particularly yoga. They all talk about powers, siddhis, charisms in the church. Miracles, they are sometimes referred to. So I emphasize, and I try to paint a picture, as I still am doing with drawing on other resources, of what the future human might look like. When you take all these little pieces together from different people in history, different aspects of people's lives, things that they can do, and you start to try to create a composite image of what the total picture of human potential is, it represents something that is to the human as we are to our brother and sister gorillas. we're clearly related to them on the evolutionary scale of things, but there's a quantum leap in consciousness and language and culture and awareness. I believe that a comparable evolutionary leap is a definite potential of the human species as we know it today. But the question is, what will it take to bring that out? That I don't know. What will cause? Or will the whole experiment, the human experiment, crash? And I'm sure, I don't know, but I mean, it's quite conceivable that most of the species of living organism on the planet are extinct now. I mean, after the 4 billion years of the life of this planet. And so we can't be sure what the outcome of the human adventure, or as Mark Twain put it, the human experiment, will be. But I'm an optimist, and I think that there is this extraordinary potential. And the more we approach global crisis, and the more it seems that we are reaching the point where we can't carry on the way we are carrying on, I think the greater the likelihood that these latent potentials will begin to flourish on a wider scale. And maybe this is just my utopian dream, but I do think it's based upon solid empirical evidence.
You've had some experiences, though, of your own, when you talk about the experiment you did with your class on levitation. And it had to be surprising to everybody who was participating, but you can explain that one, because that's an idea of saying, okay, so you think this is all bogus and just, you know, gobbledygook, check this out. You were able to replicate a levitation experience.
Absolutely. And the secret and part of it had to do with the group, a group dynamic. You know, people can do things in groups that they can't do by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a kid, I was very timid and stuttered a little bit. And when it came to singing with the group, I was like an angel. I sang, you see, because I was in the group context. I didn't feel isolated. So what I did with my students, we were talking about these things, and I said, and by the way, it was team taught, so there was a second professor there, and I suggested that we perform a levitation experiment. This is actually a game that children play called Light as a Feather, and I've done a little inquiry about that, and amazing numbers of people report doing this sort of thing when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
But we were not children. We were adults in a classroom, philosophy classroom, in a university setting. So the experiment consisted of, first I picked the heaviest guy in the room. He was at least 200-pound ex-Marine, and I sat him on a chair, and I selected four of the frailest looking females. Sorry, I don't mean to sound.
That's okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I had to pick the, you know, so, and I had them each put their fingers, just their fingers, the back of their fingers, on underneath the thigh, well, each thigh, and underneath the elbows. We did a little chanting together for a while. And I have to say this to explain this. We had been doing things in a joint, in a group setting, meditating, chanting together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was already a nice group rapport.
Okay, like a cohesion.
Right. So the idea was, at a certain point, I said, lift. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't expect it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I said, you know, I was prepared to give it a shot. And, well, as you may guess, it did happen. And these young ladies, without effort, just by touching and moving their fingers, a 200-pound Marine went up in the air as far as their arms could reach. And I will never in my life forget the expression on this gentleman's face, this big, massive guy. He looked both terrified and astonished at the same time.
Yeah.
And there he was, up in the air, and then very gently, effortlessly, he came down. He didn't fall. No, a lot of these, when these things happen, gravity seems to be very respectful of people. St. Joseph never came crashing down. He never crashed.
Uh-huh.
He always came down very gently. And so that was an astonishing experience that I'm sure that Marine, wherever he is right now, I'm sure he remembers. And as well as the four ladies and the whole class, and myself, So as far as I'm concerned, that was absolutely unambiguous instance of levitation. And that's something that most mainstream scientists, mostly the scientists who are the most resistant because they think they know everything, they don't. But this completely satisfied me that levitation was possible. And of course, I've met other people who have had experiences. And then this huge literature that I've been studying, the historical cases.
Well, and that part of it gives you the benefit, like you're talking about, people who've had these light as a feather experiences as kids can also say, hey, I know there's something going on because I've experienced it. The group thing you're
talking about,
I've had from several different studies that I've been reading recently. That's one of the dynamics that they say is that, you know, when people are participating and they're positive, they're engaged, they're not skeptical, then they add the dynamic that gives it like an extra jolt, a boost, a more positive impact that I think empowers the group.
That's right. And you know, there's a curious thing that I'll mention here. It's called false feedback. I didn't do any of this, but there are experiments that are performed in so-called psychokinesis, which is business of mind over matter, what we're talking about,
right,
in which the experimenter will give a little bit of false feedback. In other words, let's say they're working with a, they're trying to move a table by PK,
right,
a table tilting experiment. The experimenter might give a little nudge himself, and that nudge triggers the real thing. In other words, if you see that it's possible, the same thing happens very often in the fire walking ceremonies. I haven't done it myself, but I know at least three people, ordinary guys like myself, who did it. I'm a bit of a chicken heart. I didn't have the opportunity, I'd say. I might if I was in the mood, but once they saw the other people do it, then they got courage, and they got online, and they walked on fire. And that's another phenomenon that fascinates me.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting story, so I could tell you about that.
Okay, well, no. We're going to get into this thing that you wrote on your blog, because I want people to check into your blog, too. You've got some good stuff there. So, and we have to take a break, all right, Michael? I'm sorry. Oh. You've got tons of stuff.
Okay.
We're going to go back to that singularity thing where you pick up a few little notes. You've discovered the contactees, and this is a fascinating story. So we're going to get into that one here in the next break. So, all right. Are you okay with that?
I sure am. Whatever. Yeah.
All right. Michael Grosso, my guest, the author of several books, but The Man Who Could Fly is the one we're talking about tonight. And that's a fascinating story. Stick around. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. And the thing that we were talking about earlier, the group deal, when you get that cohesion, I've experienced that doing a Communiversity thing here locally where you experience spoon bending, and there was an instructor who said, okay, now, and we all had our spoons, we're all focusing, and I will tell you, it was like butter, and was so easy in that class. I went home and tried it again. It's like, well, I had to work a little bit at it, just get it to kind of move a little, and it got warm, but in the class, that thing just fell. I'm like, wow. But I know it was the group dynamic. I know that was, it was what we were all focused, all doing the same thing, and it just, you know, just almost just effortlessly, like you're talking about the levitation thing, and I was just blown away with how easy it was, and yet had never, you know, done anything like that before. So I think the group dynamic is important. Again, we're talking with Michael Grosso, and I wanted to get you to talk about what you're covering on your blog too, because you're getting into this other elements with what you're terming the singularity.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think the thing that story that I wrote recently was about Ari Gold, the Brazilian psychic surgeon who died in a car accident in 1971. He was only 49 years old. But this was an ordinary man, a peasant, not terribly educated, but sort of a pious, decent guy with a nice family. But he started to get headaches. And bit by bit, he started to hear voices, and someone was speaking to him in a heavy German accent, who called himself Dr. Fritz. And Dr. Fritz claimed that he was a doctor, indeed, a doctor, and a German doctor who died in the Second World War in 1918, and that he had a mission to use people on Earth to continue his healing. Well, eventually he took possession of the body of Ari Gold. That was his sort of nickname, famous for that. And to generalize very quickly, he got into the habit of healing people, but in the strangest way. I'll begin by simply saying that once he got into this, on the average of 300 people a day would come to his little rooms. It was nothing like a hospital or anything. And he would use, and here's the part, he would do everything in a way, he would perform these healings in a way that would be regarded as completely insane and criminal otherwise. He would take a dirty penknife and plunge it into somebody's eye and pull out a cataract. And the patient would feel nothing, there would be virtually no bleeding, and in a very short time, the wound would, almost immediately, the wound would just close up. So, needless to say, he got an enormous reputation.
Oh, yeah.
He became famous all over Brazil. The president, Kubitschek, who was at that time the president of Brazil, brought his son, who had a near fatal disease or a possibly fatal disease to Ari Gore, who healed him instantly. By the way, the operations would take no more than 2 minutes. He would instantly diagnose a person, no matter what the disease was, just by a look. He was also able to look at a person and tell exactly what the person's blood pressure was without using the machine. He would rattle off prescriptions, not knowing anything about medicine, that were totally weird and fantastic. And that's all. I'll just put it that way without getting on an NTD. But they always worked. If any doctor used the same kinds of strange prescriptions to heal different diseases today, no. For one thing, the quantity, the amounts were enormous, but they always seemed to work. He never, for all the times that he used his dirty knives, he would just wipe the knife off his pants and go to the next patient. No one ever complained. There was no pain. No one was ever injured. No one was ever infected. And this went on for 20 years.
Wow.
Now, this is one of the most spectacular stories. The Catholic Church was against him because they figured he was quite religious. He thought that it was Jesus inspiring him, but he didn't go to church. So the church decided that he had to be getting this power from the devil, and so they were against him. The medical profession was against him. Literally, he was breaking the law because he didn't have any license to practice medicine.
Yeah.
But everybody came to him, and no one complained. They were, if they weren't totally healed, they were improved. No one was ever injured. No one was ever infected. One of the most famous stingers of the day, a guy by the name of Roberto Carlos, brought his son. He, too, had his son healed instantly. I forgot what the disease was.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, became a bosom pal of Ari Gore. Now, Ari Gore was arrested. He was sent to jail. The entire nation rose up in protest against this. Eventually, he got he was free, and people accepted him, including the government and the church. They had to, because it was an overwhelming request for him to be left alone. Let him do. He was helping people. And then, strangely, toward January 1971, he had a visit with the president, and he said, "This is the last time you're never going to see me again. I'm going to die violently. I don't know how, but I know it's going to happen." Within 3 days, he had an accident in the rain. He was driving, and someone crashed into him. I don't know that part. I don't understand that, quite honestly. But again, he knew it was coming, and he wasn't in the slightest bit worried. It was as though whatever it was let him know that his term was finished.
Yeah.
He'd done his job.
Yeah.
And now he was going to take him
out
of the world, you see.
He graduated.
And so that's an incredible story. And if you, the readers, the listeners, you can read a book by John Fuller, which is a masterpiece of a description of all of this. And so I'm interested. I call this is an example of what I call the singularity, because something here is going on so unusual that it represents a whole new level of human potential, divine potential. I don't know what to call it. I'm not a theologian. I'm just trying to describe what I find and what's happening in the world.
Okay, Michael, now we've got 30 seconds.
Ah.
Yeah, okay. 30 seconds. So I want people to follow up your blog, Consciousness Unbound, on Blogspot, and then your book. And any place else people should get a hold of you?
Well, actually, if they want to be in touch and share a story or ask a question, through my blog.
Okay.
And don't be timid about using the blog. Just stick it in. You put your name in, and I'll be happy to respond to you. But I'd love to hear from you.
All right. We're out of here. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. And Michael Grosso, thank you for doing what you're doing. Till next time, stay curious. See ya. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Out of here.
It happens all the time.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.